this morning. The title of the word is, You Have What You've Spoken, Part 2. You Have What You've Spoken, Part 2. It's already February 9th. A third of the month is gone. Amen. Christmas is around the corner. Hallelujah. Well, it is just around the corner. I mean, they're going to start probably putting Christmas decorations out in March or something. You know, they're so crazy trying to capture the whole market, you know. But no, you got to understand, we're going to talk a little bit about and continue on what we talked about last week about what you've spoken. You have what you've spoken. And we discussed last week a little bit the words you speak set the tone for your life. So if you don't like the way your life is going, then what you need to do is change the tone of what's coming out of your mouth. Sometimes you got to change the way that you act. Sometimes you got to change the way that it comes out of your mouth so it's not offensive to people. Amen. Sometimes you just got to learn to speak the word to your situation so that you can see change and not focus on your situation so much. You got to get in agreement with God's word. See, this is the important thing about growing as a Christian, is that you got to get in agreement with his word. Once you get in agreement with his word, God can do things on your behalf. Amen? That way it's not a tug of war. You ever been in a tug of war before? You got some people on one side, you got other people on the other, and you have that tug of war going on. You ever been there? Amen? You got that tug of war, and then, you know, you're sliding it back a little bit. Well, that's what happens when you don't speak the word and get in alignment with God's word. So you got to say it, and then you got to see it in the spiritual realm. See, I've already seen my kids very successful in whatever they do. Why? Because I've laid hands on them, I've prayed for them, I've instructed them in the word, and I've said it enough that I can begin to see it in the spiritual realm. They're not there yet, but it's coming. Everything's taking place. There's foundations that need to be poured in order for them to be successful. Amen? And they've got to do their part as well. Amen? So you got to understand, you are just words. You're literally just words away from your harvest. And what happens when you're getting close to your harvest, when you're right about to get what you've been speaking, the devil always comes up. When you're right about to close that deal, the devil just wants to step in and just confuse you a little bit. It wants you to get spun out of control. So what you got to understand is that you're only words away, so just keep on speaking the words so you can get all the way. Amen? This morning, we're going to look at the words of God. And you're going to understand that God's word has creative power. Now, if God's word has creative power, you got to ask yourself, what words am I creating in my life? What am I speaking? What am I doing? The words that I conceive in my heart and speak out of my mouth release a force like dynamite. I don't know if you've ever seen them take down a building in the Strip. You know, they take the building and they implode it with all that dynamite and they implode. Well, it changes the environment of the building. It used to stand and all of a sudden it's nothing but a pile of rubble. That's what your words do, good or bad. Uh-oh. Your words can either tear someone up or you can build someone up. One way or another. You tear them down or you build them up. It's up to you on the words that you speak because your words are like dynamite. Think about that for a minute when you speak to someone. Uh-oh, Pastor. Yeah, you may say something that may wreck them for a lifetime. Or you may say something that will build them up, that will give them the encouragement which everybody else has never given them, for them to do something and spur them on to go do something big and large. Amen? See, the words that you speak rearrange and change things. It sets the atmosphere that you live in. Let me give you a little example. I don't know if you remember when you were kids, you had Legos. You ever have Legos? And they had the big Legos. And then when you got a little older, you got the small little Legos. And then you could build things, right? And then you had the power of your creative mind to go in there and take that whole thing apart and create something new. Or you look at the directions and you could build a car or you can build a house or a skyscraper. My kids used to leave them on the floor so at 2 o'clock in the morning I could step on them and walk around and then had to pray for healing. I had to build my faith up when I was young. Amen? But those Legos were a symbol that you could build something, that you could create something. And the words you speak are like those Legos. You can create something. You can take it and rearrange it by the words that you speak. You don't like what you're going through today? Change what you're speaking. Quit speaking negative things to people you don't like. I don't even talk about negative people. Why? Because they don't even exist in my life. I just talk to the hand. I'll pray for you. I'll lay hands on you. But I don't have to hang around with negative people, because negative people make me negative. I don't like that. Negative people bring me down. Oh, woe is me. You know, they're like Eeyore. You know, they're looking for their tail. My daughter's got this little Eeyore doll, you know. And I said, does it have a tail that hangs on? She goes, yeah, it's out with Velcro. And then you push it off and it hangs off. It's kind of, where's Eeyore? Oh, woe is me. I lost my tail today. I'm going to amount to nothing today. You know, I have to bring that in. This is an illustration. Because what happens is when you hang around with people that are negative, they want you to be negative and have a pity party. I'm not interested in the pity party. I'm just trying to help you. If you speak enough negative words in your life, you become a negative person. Start speaking positive, faith-filled words that you're going to amount to be something. And then you'll be something. Amen? But if you always say you're sick and tired, guess what? You're always going to be. You ever meet people, they always said they're sick and tired, or I'm sick and tired, and they are. They're always sick and they're always tired. I'm like, all right. I like to be full of life. I'm getting up early, and I'm going to work all day, and I've got the strength and the stamina of Goliath. Amen? Hallelujah. My wife says, you're A-type. I says, I know. Why? Because I speak it. I have so much to get done. Amen? That I'm like, you know, the energy bunny. It's got, you know, my kids go, can you just take a little break? Breaks for when you're done dead. Come on, let's go. We got a lot to get done. Rest. 8 hours of sleep. What's that? Have enough of that when I'm dead and buried. I got a lot to get done. It seems as you get older, you sleep less. I don't know how that happens, but you do. I don't know, because you got more to do or something. I don't know. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the words that you're speaking and the creative power of God's words. And I'm going to probably step on your toes a little bit, so I'm going to not apologize, but just letting you know that your toes may be hurting a little bit, praise God, but I'm here to help you, and I don't this isn't a babysitting class, so I'm believing that you're going to hear the word, and then you're going to go do that word, and then I'm going to see the promises of God in your life work out. Amen? Nothing's better than watch a Christian's life take off and soar. My wife and I just love when we see people where they used to be and where they're at today, and how they've just taken the word, and my God, everything has changed in your life. It's awesome. So take a look at the Bible. We're going to look at Mark 11, verse 12. This is the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, Mark 11, 12. We looked at this last week, just kind of like the ground floor of the Word this morning. The Bible says this in Mark 11, 12. It says, the next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little ways off. So he went over to see it, and he couldn't find any figs, but there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, now get this, Jesus said to the tree, this is how powerful your words are. Remember who you're connected to for a second. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You're connected to that. You're part of the family of God. So if Jesus can say it, you can say it, because he's your elder brother. Amen. He's already paved the way and made a way for you. So then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard it when he said it. And then the next morning, as they passed by the fig tree that Jesus had cursed, the disciples noticed that it was withered from the roots up. That's how powerful your words are. Remember, it was alive. It's like a stick of dynamite. Boom! Killed the root. That's how powerful your words are, so watch what you're saying. Just trying to help. And Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree on the previous day and examined, exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth that you say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. Not just a half-hearted, I'm going to believe it's going to happen. No, you got to be convinced 100%. Jesus said, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt. Have no doubt. That's where we get confused and messed up. Have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, You can pray for just a few things. Isn't that what it says? You can pray for just five things. That's what the Bible said. Didn't it say that? In that verse, you can only do five things? No. Okay. Does that tell you you can pray for anything? So what do you leave out? Okay. And if you believe that you received it, it'll be what? It'll be yours. So we don't have it a lot of times because we don't really believe it in our heart. Because what's in your heart, your mouth confesses. I can meet with a person in 5 minutes and know exactly where they're at. Because whatever's in their heart, their mouth speaks. Because what you're putting in your eye gate, in your ear gate, come out your mouth gate. If you hang around negative people, all of a sudden you're being a really negative person. You ever been there? They all speak and smack, and you're speaking smack with them. Isn't that not true? See, in the beginning, nothing happened until God spoke some words. Nothing happened until God spoke some words. Look at Genesis 1:1 real quick. Genesis 1:1. This is the New King James Version. Genesis 1:1, that's the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, what did it say? Let there be light. And there was light. Shout with me this morning. When God speaks, things happen. When I speak, things happen. So you got to understand who you're connected to. You're connected to God Almighty. Not to Buddha, not to Muhammad. You're connected to the living God. And when you start calling on the name of Jesus around people, you can talk God, but as soon as you say Jesus, they're going to be offended. Too bad. You can talk about religion, and you can talk about, oh, God's doing this for me, and oh, God. As soon as you say that, Jesus, oh, man. It's like defining moment. See, God's words are his creative power. As Christians, we possess the same power in our life to possess and frame the word and the work and our life around it. You can be what you want to be by what you speak into your life. If you tell your kids they're nothing but dummies, guess what they're going to be? They're going to be living with you when you're 45 years old. Amen. And so are all their grandkids and their husband. Because she don't know any better that she'll be marrying a dummy too. Amen. Or he'll be marrying a dummy. Come on now. Speak life-filled words in your kids. Think about it. All those darkness covered the earth, God said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. Because it's what he spoke. And we're made in the image of God. Isn't what the Bible says? We're made in the image of God. Therefore, we should speak words that line up with his word, and when we speak his words, guess what? We get his results. But perverseness of speech and those type of things actually destroy you. Proverbs 11:3 says this. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy. Those that have perverse mouths, those that speak out of context, those that are profane with their language and always negative, that perverse speech is crooked and contrary to what you believe. Only obey God's word and avoid perverse speech. God's will is God's word. Say that with me. God's word is God's will. God's word. God's word. That's why we got to get the word of God in us. This is not on Sunday, but it's okay that you can listen to it on tape in your car. You got probably iPhones and iPads and smartphones, and start being smart and use the phone for God. You got a port, you can plug it in your car and you can listen to it in your car. You can buy one of those little boombox things and plug it in when you're at work or your iPad, whatever you got. Put the word in there. See, here's the deal. God's word is truth if you like it or not. If you apply the word or you don't apply the word, it doesn't matter. It's still truth. Facts change, but the truth always remains the same. Uh-oh. You ever been where facts have changed? When you go to court, facts have changed, but the truth, the truth always remains the same. There's no change in it. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Take a look at Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 18:20, New King James Version. Proverbs 18:20 says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it eat its fruit. You ever see somebody who talks a lot of smack and then they wonder why their life is full of just chaos? Not when I was young. My parents aren't here, so I can say this, because otherwise I might get spanked again. Amen. 49-year-old guy be getting spanked, you know. But my mom would always say, "You run your mouth too much. You think you have all the answers. You run your mouth, and you're gonna get your mouth is gonna get you into trouble." And I would look at her like a young kid and say, "Yeah, sure. Talk to the hand, mom." And that mouth would get me into trouble. It'd get me into fights. I would get whooped by the. See, back then, young ones, I just want you to know, the neighbors would whoop you, then call your mom and say you're an embarrassment, and then you get home and you embarrass the family name, and you got whooped again. And then you got grounded, and then you got to drink, you know, a little bit of water, and you got your peas, and you went to bed. Amen. And if you use foul mouth language, oh, you got soap in your mouth. And that Dove soap, man, is soft, and it just, you know, you get on your teeth, and you're trying to brush it, man, and bubbles are coming out of your mouth, and all the foul words are coming out with it, you know, and you're crying because it tastes horrible. So now there's soft soap. We don't use that on you anymore. The bar of, you know, that zesty Irish Springs on your teeth, man, it just, you know, tasted horrible. And you would think after you've misspoke, or I would talk back to my mom like, "Baby, baby, baby," and then I'd be quiet about it. I'd be going, "I know you're talking about me." And she'd take that soap, man, and just get. And you would think after getting soaped a dozen times, I would have learned my lesson. But no, I'd have 2-3 dozen times. I was a slow learner, amen. But I did have nice, clean teeth. Yeah. That Dove worked a miracle. See, words can turn on the life cycle or start the death cycle. It's up to you. It's the words you say. Life cycle, death cycle. Do I want to go upward and do great things for God and for my family, or do I want to do death cycle? And I've been on a death cycle before by what I used to say. It's no good. Before you know it, you're walling with the pigs and hanging with people that you thought, "What am I dealing with? How did I get with these people?" Because you spoke enough of it, you become just like it. You become a creature of the habit that you're inhabiting all the time. You hang around people that are stealing cars, guess what? Before you know it, you're in the car being an accomplice. You got buddies that are ripping off stores, guess what you're doing? You're ripping off stores with them. They're smoking marijuana, guess what you're doing? "I never smoked the stuff. I never inhaled. Sure, I'm going to run for president. Come on. I only got the secondhand smoke." Sure, that was from the bong that you were smoking. Come on. You end up doing things that you normally wouldn't do. And then people talk you into it, and then you start to repeat, "Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's okay. It's just a little sin." See, what you don't know can always destroy you. Remember that. That's why you got to get into the Word and get to know the Word so that you can apply those things so that you can be covered by God's Word. Amen? Your tongue will steer your course of life. Now, I used to laugh about that. I remember a preacher who talked about that. And, you know, your tongue is this powerful weapon. And I'm almost like, yeah, uh-huh. Take a look at James 3:2 for a second. James 3:2, New Living Translation. James 3:2 says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by a means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even if the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue, which is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." Shout, "I will control my tongue." Touch your neighbor and say, "I will control my tongue." I thought about that for a minute. I used to have a boat. And when we were little, my parents had a boat. And underneath it, there was a little rudder. And that thing would make this 25-foot boat go wherever they wanted to go on the lake. It was amazing. So we went on a cruise a couple years ago. And you know, you see those cruise boats, and you just kind of go like, whoa. And a couple little rudders on the back of that thing makes that whole boat go to wherever it wants to go. It's a small little thing, but it steers the course for the whole big boat. That little bit in the horse's mouth, you ever see the Budweiser? You know, you see the Super Bowl last week when my team won. And the Budweiser, you see the commercials and they have the bit in the horse's mouth, right? And it can make that horse go about anywhere it wants to go. But a little bit, your mouth, your tongue, that little thing, the doctor says, and you go, that little tongue guides your whole life. When I speak, you could either speak death or life. You could speak smart or stupid. That little tongue controls that. And you got to learn to control it by the power of God's word. You want God's word coming out of that tongue. By his stripes I've been healed. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm way, way above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in, but I'm even more blessed when I leave. When I walk out, the anointing comes with me. Come on now. Oh, that's arrogant, Pastor. I'm going to live to be over 100 years old. I keep on confessing it. My wife and I are going to live a very long life, amen? And then one day we're going to say we're done. But we're planning on living a long life. Why? Because we're confessing it every day. I had to make up for the time when I said I'd only live to 30. More going to live to 30. More going to live to 30. More going to live. Guess what? I almost died before I was 30. That's how powerful the words that you speak set the atmosphere, and the devil can take that and run with that. Yeah, there is a devil, by the way. Just want you to know. He's an adversary. He don't like you. He don't like me. See, once you control your mouth, you control your life. If you say you'll never go to college, you never will. But if you say, you know, I want to be something. I'm going to be accomplished in something. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to go be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm just going to be a technician. You start speaking those things, and guess what? The atmosphere around you starts to open up, and then you start finding people just by chance. When you start speaking that stuff, people start to come. They want to help you. They don't know why, but you're starting to speak smart. Amen? See, I don't take much from you know, and I'm not, now please don't take no offense to this, but I go to the mall and I see these kids with their baggy pants down or their kneecaps, you know, and they all be cool and they're talking all that. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to listen to that person. Why? Because they're talking stupid. That person ain't gonna you know, that person ain't got a PhD. Amen. When they're walking around and being stupid. And employers aren't interested in hiring somebody with their baggy pants down to here and being stupid. I'm just, you know, young people, I'm just trying to help you. I love you enough to tell you that. Why I said that, I don't know. I'm just trying to help you. That what comes out of your mouth, people listen to. Good or bad. Simple phrases was like this. I feel like I'm about to die. Those little words can be harmful. Well, you know, I'll never have any money. Guess what? You never will have any money. Why don't you start speaking, I'm going to have some money. Why? Because I'm going to bless the kingdom of God. That all my bills are going to be paid. I'm going to have so much extra surplus, I'm going to just have to bless somebody. Maybe I'll have to go bless and pay for someone's college. Oh, you say that's crazy. I'll give you a real example. This my brother had when he had five kids. He's got five kids, and they were young, and they all lived in this little house in Roseville, I remember, New Michigan. And the neighbor next to him was going to college but didn't have enough money, but he was a Christian kid. Now, my brother made good money, but he didn't make great money at the time, but the Lord touched his heart to pay for that kid's college. than my brother. That was his seed sowing for his five kids that were going to go to college. But if you continue to say words like, oh, I think I'm going to die, you could die. So you got to watch what you say, because remember, your words are like dynamite. So when you say, well, I think I'm going to die, or my wife always helps correct me in that area because I don't want to mess up. Like, well, I can't afford to do that. She goes, really? What was that? You can't afford to do what? She has to help me. Why? Because when I say I can't afford, that, guess what? We're not going to be able to get that. And she said, no, we want that. Why? Because when people come over, they can be blessed by that. But remember, a small flame can become a great fire. Remember, your negative statements are amplifies your problems. That's why you only say your problem one time and then you ask God to help you with your problem. Because if you continue to focus on your problem and say, I got this problem, the problem starts getting bigger, bigger, and bigger, and bigger, and it's like, oh my God. I remember the doctor told me, you got diabetes. I said, that's good. I said, I got symptoms like diabetes. I'm not claiming I have them because my father in heaven didn't have them. My elder brother Jesus didn't have them. So I'm not going to have them. I have some symptoms, and I have to work those things out, and I have to take some medications along the way. But my medications that were used to be up here, now I'm only like here, and I'm soon enough, as I lose a little bit more weight and do the right things, then I'll be having none. Amen? It's a progression. Sometimes God can heal you just instantly. He's done that for me too. With this one, I got to work out, and I got to work it out by what I'm speaking. Oh, your A1C number is a little high. Well, in Jesus' name, it's not now. Anoint yourself with oil. I anoint myself with oil. Every time I come in here to preach, I take a little oil, put a little bit on my heart. Lord, anoint. Why? You can anoint yourself. You can say I'm blessed and healed and recovered and made whole. See, the words that are in your heart, you speak out of your mouth. And it releases the atmosphere. It starts to change the particles and the people and the things that are around you by what you speak. If you speak really good things, more people want to be attracted to you. Negativism, is that a word? That's pretty close. It's in my Bible now, or in my Webster dictionary. Yeah, that negativity, yeah. That repels people. I was always good in math. It wasn't good in English, amen. But I'm working on it. Jesus' name. The words you speak rearrange and reorchestrate and redo the environment that you're in. If you've spoken negative words, begin to speak positive words and replace those. Repent, ask God, hey Lord, I messed up. I want to retract what I said, and Lord, I want to speak a positive confession over my life. You got to speak the word of God. Take a look at Joshua 1:8. My last scripture, I promise. Joshua 1:8. It says, study this book of instruction once in a while when you're not tired. Isn't that what it says? It says, study this book of instruction continually. That means all the time. Be looking at the word, hearing the word, seeing the word, doing the word. Somehow, get those words in front of you. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Shout, I will speak the word of God. Touch your neighbor and say, I will speak the word of God. What I confess, I will possess. See, it's what you're saying. Meditate on the word of God. And it says, and you'll have great success, good success. Allow faith in God's word to impact your speech. Begin to believe that God's word really does work. Oh, that's crazy. That was 2,000 years ago it was written. Yeah, it still works. If you ever look at successful people, even if they're atheists, they use godly principles to get where they're at. Come on now. Or we're going to give the charity. They know that once they release something out of their hands, God's going to bless them with something more. Even though they don't believe in God, they understand the principles of God. They understand about sowing and reaping. They'll call it karma. But it's sowing and reaping. If you sow enough negative, you get enough negative coming back. You sow enough positive, you get some positive things coming back. When you confess the word, you're writing it on your heart. If you ever have a template and you write something like on an iPad, it's great. You got a thing called note. When you're writing that, it's there. Amen. Well, that's like when you're speaking the word and you're reading the word of God and you're getting it's on your heart. And whenever your heart, whatever in your heart, your mouth speaks. So begin to write some more stuff. This morning, you need to pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth, what you're speaking. Because what you're speaking is what you're having. Because there's power in God's word. God's word creates things. God's word, if you speak, you could even dry up a fig tree. Watch what you're cursing and who you're cursing. Amen? Nothing happened until God spoke a word. Nothing will happen until you speak a word. Don't be silent about it. I don't have to tell everybody, but you can be a little vocal about it. Hey, I'm believing for a new house, or I'm believing that all my kids' college is going to be paid for. I'm believing for health in my family. I'm believing that my mom and dad will live a long, healthy, prosperous life. Come on. But nothing happens until you speak something. There wasn't light until God said, let there be light. If he said there was no light, there'd be no light. But he said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. You have the same power in your words as Jesus has. And you have the same power in your words that the Heavenly Father has. All you got to do is speak it. And then you got to work it. See, we're good at speaking things, but we don't want to work after it. Amen? You speak it, and then you put your hands in the plow, and you, everything that you do, your tasks are focused on what you spoke. I'm believing I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, Jed's a millionaire. No, come on. Why do you confess that? Because I want all my debts paid. I want my kids to be blessed. I want to leave something for my kids' kids. And then I want to have enough to bless other people who might not have a car, who might not have a house, who might need their college paper. And I can be the resource and give God all the glory, maybe win them to the kingdom. Oh. The money is not for you. The money is going to go through you to bless somebody else. Pastor wants to be a millionaire. Yes, I do. I work hard every day, and I want to be a millionaire. Why? So I can bless. I want to be debt-free. You know how much money I'd have if I didn't have a house payment or car payment? All that, all paid for, all paid liquid, and I could go give it to somebody. The Lord said, give that person that truck. And he said, well, here's the title deed. Can't do that unless it's paid off. I don't need a Bentley. Or a Rolls Royce or a $5,000 suit. I got my Kmart clothes. I'm happy. Amen. Target, Walmart, hey, the pants all wear the same. Amen. But my favorite place is Burlington, praise God. That's where you get everything for 50% off. Hallelujah. Get all the name brand stuff. Why? I'm not into paying retail. I'm in paying wholesale. Why? My God's Jewish. Amen. He get me the good deals. But you have to confess that. Our tongue is a small part of our body, but it directs our life like a rudder on a ship. So watch what you're speaking. Take that little rudder. That guy up in the command center can move just a little bit, and the whole boat, the whole big ship can go one degree this way or that. That's what your mouth does. And you don't want to be 1 degree off where God wants you to be. That's why you got to be staying the course with God. You got to speak in the word. Your words can ignite life or cause death to a situation. Speak the word of God to people. Meditate on the word and place it in your heart. Don't allow sin to separate you from the blessing of God. Sin stalls the spoken word. So when you sin, you better ask God to forgive you right away, because you don't want that word that God that had for you, that you spoke out, to stop. Kind of like hanging in the balance, man. You want to say, no, Lord, just push me all the way over. Amen? You want God to push you all the way over. So if you sin, this mess up, hey, Lord, please forgive me. I messed up. I take that word back. And Lord God, I just want to move forward. Lord, I'm believing. See, that's part of the deal, is believing what you spoke. If you don't believe it, don't speak it. You're wasting air. Amen? Examine your life every day. Make adjustments in order to stay on track. Every day I'm making adjustments. Every day. My wife helps me when I'm out of tune with things with God. What are you saying? Oh, man, you're right. Because sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, I'm more weary. In the morning, I'm fresh. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. But that's at 5:30 in the morning. At 8 o'clock at night, I'm going, tired. So sometimes you got to have somebody who's on your team encouraging you to say, come on, we can do it. That's why you come to church, because you got a bunch of other cheerleaders that can say, come on, you can do it. See, God has placed greatness in all of you, but you got to confess it and believe that you got greatness in you. Whatever you want to be, no matter how old or how young you are, you can do it. Amen? My brother was the youngest vice president of a company at part of General Motors. He was the youngest. He was like 26 years old, and he got this title. And no one ever in that position, you would be in the 50s before you get that job. Why? Because he was a Christian, and he spoke the word of God, and he was a tither and a giver, and gave of his time and his talents. And all he did is said, Lord, someday I want to be in this position so I can influence people. Not so I have power over, I want to have influence over them. So when they come into my office that's in the corner, and they come see me for the deal, and they see Jesus, and they see the Bible, and they see my wife and kids, and five kids that, you know, my brother, when he got five kids, we want five kids, my God. But he's blessed. Don't allow anybody to destroy your dreams. Speak the word of God. You got to remember who you are and whose you are. And once you understand that and you start speaking that word, God wants to bless you. Now, I didn't say you're not going to have a test, you're not going to have a trial, that you're absent from anything happening in your life. That's bull. But there's someone in your corner who's already been through it, who can help you get through it. But if you continue to confess your problems, and I'm going to tell you, my wife will say, I've been around that mountain. Boy, this looks familiar. Man, look, yeah. And you keep on confessing that negative thing, and you keep on going around that mountain. And God's saying, what are you doing? I told you. And then you realize what you're saying. Come on. I was sick for 12 years. Not because I wasn't healed the first day I received the word. It's that my mouth, that was the rudder of my life, kept on confessing, well, I'm always sick every 6 months. This pancreas problem, they can't figure it out, and all the doctors don't have any answers to it, and it'll probably kill me. And every 6 months, I was in a hospital bed, plugged up the tubes and stuff and morphine and almost dying. And then it got to the point, this is how good it was. I would go and plan my vacation around a six-month window so I wouldn't be sick during it. I said, hey, we can't plan vacation. Why? Because I'm always sick every 6 months. The power of and we were on vacation in San Diego. Someone blessed us with a phenomenal hotel. Remember that, right on the waterfront? Someone blessed us. And go ahead, go down there. And I was starting to have a pancreas attack. Why? Because I looked at the date. And then the fear came on me and gripped me. And all of a sudden, we had to drive back from San Diego and go to the hospital in Vegas here. And I was there like 15, 18 days in the hospital because I was confessing it. That's how powerful the words of dynamite that are in your mouth, that orchestrate and change. And the whole time I'm going, why am I getting? I believe Jesus. I'm serving God. I'm a tither. What is going on? It was the rudder of my mouth was continuing to place me right where I wanted to be, because that's what I spoke. I'm sick. I'm always sick every 6 months. Every 6 months, it cost me $10,000. Sure enough, every 6 months, it was 10 grand coming out of my pocket, even with good medical insurance. And there was a couple times I died and came back to life. But God had a better plan. I had a praying wife. So he died yet. Yeah. She'd rather have me around than that big insurance policy. Amen. Well, that's what it was 20 years ago, but I'm just kidding. But it's what I was speaking. Seriously. That's how powerful. And I think about that all the time. Man, I was speaking that. And then one day, someone set me free by saying, watch what you're saying. Gave me a book, Christ the Healer. Took a class and got in and just got that. And every time I'd say, please help me. If I say anything that's contrary to healing, just tell me. You know, I don't care if you're in front of 50 people. I want to be whole. And then I was dying, and I had to go to a doctor, and found no doctor that could do the surgery I needed. And then we found one here in town that did it a few times, and limited success. And well, I put my hands and trust in God and spoke, I'm whole. And I had that procedure and got out of the hospital after about 6 days, which should have been in there for about 15 days, and got home, got healed up, and never had ever had a pancreas problem again. Why? Because I spoke to the situation, no more will it ever arise in my life. It's the power of your words. When sickness comes on you, you got to speak to it. Because that sickness is not from God. God's not getting you sick to teach you a lesson. That's the devil trying to snuff you out and irritate you and cause you not to go have fun with your family. Right? Cancer. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, you're diagnosed with that. No, I ain't. Well, you got symptoms of that. No, I don't. You got to speak it. You got to take some force. You got to speak like you're God Almighty because you're one of His. Come on. That debt that's strangling you, you got to speak to that debt and then quit spending. Go get somebody to counsel you on how to spend your money right, how to save, how to invest. That's why there's rich people in the church so that you can learn something from them. We know rich people in churches, and they teach classes on money. Why? Because they're really good with it, and some of us weren't. Amen? I get it all. I spend it all. Isn't it what I'm supposed to do? No. Might be a rainy day, Noah. You got to have your ark ready. Shout out with me this morning. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am created in the image of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I am anointed and appointed to do the work of God. I can do all things because I'm connected to Jesus. In His name I pray, and everybody said, did you get anything this morning? Do you get what you're saying? It's like, Donna, think about that. Maybe you need to go on the webpage and get a stick of dynamite and stick it in your car and stick it in your house and stick it on your iPad as the first thing you see is a picture of dynamite. So you watch what you're saying. Whatever you need to do to help you understand the words you speak have power, do it. Do it. Speak the word of God to your kids. Speak the word of God to your employer. They'll be blessed. They're great to have you there because you're anointed. But if you don't confess it, you can't possess it. Oh, Pastor, you're just saying, if you say it, you get it. Name it and claim it. No, but if you don't name it, you'll never claim it. Amen? You can't get anything from Walmart if you don't go shopping at Walmart. Come on. I go shopping everywhere because I'm waiting for someone to bless me. I don't know why people want to give me a Starbucks for free. What to do? What do I look like? I'm strung out or something. I didn't need a Starbucks, you know? Do I look like I need caffeine? Why do people want to bless you? Why? Because you're in the right place. They see something about you that's different than the world. And when you're getting squeezed like a tube of toothpaste, the real you comes out. And if the real you comes out speaking the words of God, people are blown away. So speak the word. Take your words as a piece of dynamite. You don't like what you got, speak the word to it and watch it change. You don't like the environment you're in, change it. You don't like your financial position, change it. You might have to go put 150 resumes out to change your position in life, but go do it. God will open up the door. He always does. But if you don't go and apply and knock and try, then you can pray and I'm believing, I'm believing. You're like an auctioneer. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. But nothing's going to happen until you go and you step out. Speak the word before and then step in it. Like, you're, hey, I got it. I got it. I'm receiving it. You don't have it because you don't speak it and you don't believe it. But the word said in the first scriptures we read this morning, you just say it so that you got it. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you will receive it, it'll be yours. You got to see it. You got to see yourself with it. You got to see yourself healed. You got to see your kids just doing well and prospering and growing and not connected to the wrong group and the gangbangers and the no doing nothings. Amen. But let them be the leader. Let them be in charge by the words they speak. It's in you. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. God's word works, period. Amen. Lord, bless your people. Everything, Lord God, they put their hands to will prosper this week. I speak it forth, Father God. If they're looking for a job, Lord, they're going to find it. But Lord God, this is not a job, but a better job, a better position, a position of influence where people, Lord God, will see the Jesus in their life. Father God, Lord God, let them apply themselves, Lord God. Allow them to use your words. Let them use your word like dynamite, Lord God. The Lord, get them out of the jams they may be in, Lord God. And Lord God, reorchestrate, rechange, Lord God. Recreate, Lord God, the environment that they're in by the words they speak. Father God, Lord, they just need to speak your word. Get in agreement with it. And Lord God, the tone of their life will change forever. I ask you to bless them, Lord God. They've been blessed coming in, but Lord, they're going to even be more blessed as they leave today. Guide them, direct them, bless them, increase them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody that heard it said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.